And this is the Larry Mueller Show. I'm Jill Nadeau, and we're talking about this really special cookbook today called Belly Full, Exploring Caribbean Cuisine Through 11 Fundamental Ingredients. Yeah, I can't get past that today. And over 100 recipes. The author is Leslie Enston, and she's our guest. And Leslie is a home cook and recipe creator. Her recipes have appeared in Bon Appetit, Food 52, and the New York Times. And she's based out of Brooklyn. She's going to be joining us today in just a little bit. But if you have any questions for her, we'd like to hear from you. So give us a call, 800-642-1234. You can also send an email to talk@wpr.org. But first, Lee Rayburn is in there with us. Enough yesterday, Lee. You had to come back.
I can't get enough of the Larry Mueller Show. I'd be here one way or another, whether
That's
it's
true.
On the mic or behind the scenes. It
That's
doesn't matter.
True. And we appreciate all you do in both seats. But, you know, we're here for another reason today. This is the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive, even though it really doesn't feel like fall right now. Listeners, and that means you, provide the largest source of funding here at WPR. That's right, the largest. And this drive is your chance to support all the programs you enjoy, including this one, of course. So give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And we're getting a jump on the season with our fall member drive with your support. We've got a goal that seems a little bit daunting this hour. We're looking for 35 people to join us before the hour is done. And it always feels this way to
it
start
does,
off
doesn't
with.
It?
And we always get so close at the end of the hour. And the reason there's a reason we do this. We're actually kind of showing you our budget and what it takes for us to do what we need to do every day for you. Mm-hmm. So we ask you to give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And like I said before, the largest slice of funding for WPR at the biggest, okay, in case you didn't figure the large slice, is listener supported. So we kid around a lot, but, you know, this is kind of serious when we start looking at budgets and we need income. So, you know, some of our funding comes from state and federal governments and businesses, of course, mm-hmm. and they're all very important, but your contribution makes a huge difference. So keep independent, high-quality programs like this on the air when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we are going to sweeten the deal a little bit for you today. We have a WPR magnet available for your gift of any amount while supplies last. It doesn't matter what you give as long as you do, and you need to check out this magnet because it's got the little badger with his little headphones. Lime green headphones with WPR on them so that you don't even have to ask what the badger is listening to. You know. Ask for your WPR magnet now when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I've been a public radio listener for as long as it's been around. It's a long time. Public radio for me is pretty much the only kind of radio that that I would choose to listen to. My name is Penny, and Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for programming I can't get anywhere else.
Could you give now? WPR.org or 888-202-2552. This is the WPR Fall Member Drive. I'm Jill Nadeau, and I'm here with Lee Rayburn, our wonderful technical director here at the Larry Mueller Show. And we both know, and you may too, but let us tell you, listener support is the biggest source of funding for WPR, and that's why your gift of $10 a month, or maybe it's $100 a month, whatever amount that you choose, has an important
And fun fact, this fall member drive, we have created a Rube Goldberg machine for you to try to donate. It is a very complicated maze that you might be able to... I'm kidding. We've made it as easy as possible. We've made it as quick as possible. It just takes a few minutes of your time, and a gift of any amount, like $10 a month, will do.
Or, you know, we should make it like Wordle-y, you know, where you have to follow, you have to answer all these quiz questions and things, and then you get to
then
give.
You can give.
I think that's a good idea. I would actually like that challenge.
Let's see how that works.
Okay. I'll start working on that for the next one. And remember, you know, this donation, it gives back every single day because you get engaging programs. So show your support, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And give whatever you can today because everyone who does gets a very cute WPR Badger magnet with a WPR headphones. It's a 3-inch round magnet. It shows the Badger listening to. You don't even have to ask them. It's written right there in the lime jello green headphones. Ask for yours when you give a gift of, how do we get the lime jello green headphones with WPR on them?
That's what I'm wondering.
How much do I have to give for those? That would be great. You can do it now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And you won't know what? Today is a really great time to become a sustaining member, and it's really super easy to set it up. It's convenient. You just do ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card, you know, way to get those miles. So get started, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Jeffrey Inacio says, I'm recently retired and now listen to more public radio than ever. I thought I'd better donate to keep the quality information and entertainment coming so I'm not tempted to go back to work. Yes.
Jeffrey, I like your attitude. Thank you so much. And you can be as powerful as Jeffrey is. Make a difference. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you. Okay. Well, now, Leslie, welcome to the show.
Hi, Jill. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Well, we really appreciate you spending some time with us today. And I got to say that your book is really fun. So not only is it fun to look at the recipes, but there's so much really cool information. Why did you decide to write Bellyful?
Well, I'm someone who's been cooking all my life and cooking with my mother all of our lives together. And, you know, I have this great love for Caribbean cuisine in general. I've grown up around all these different islands, and I really noticed that there was a lack of representation on the bookshelf. And I felt like I'm the one who's going to help get us on the map there.
Well, that's a great idea. I mean, a lot of people travel there and have wonderful meals, but then you come back and you're thinking, gosh, I'd like to recreate that. This book will definitely help that. You were talking about your mom and your grandmother, was it, that was helping you in the kitchen when you were growing up?
Just me and my mom.
Oh, okay. And what about your daughter now? You have a little girl. Is she interested in cooking?
She loves it. Yes, she's turning 6 today. She turned 6. She's 6.
Oh, well, happy birthday. What's her name?
Dessaline,
what a wonderful name. Happy birthday, sweetie. Now, you write that the Caribbean is home to so many different peoples and cultures and cuisines, and it's really a melting pot. Talk a little bit about the really it's a complex history of the Caribbean and maybe how that relates to food.
So, yeah, I always say that Caribbean cuisine, is the first fusion food. Because you had these indigenous people that were already there, and then different Europeans came and were interacting with them. And then they brought over the enslaved Africans who brought their own food ways. And then you had, along the line, you got Indian indentured servants and Chinese indentured servants. And all of this has come together to sort of, you know, it's all blended and mished and mashed and created something totally new.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think that it's kind of like there's something for everyone. Everybody can see a little reflection of their own foods in Caribbean food.
Now, as a vegetarian and kind of vegan, I noticed that a lot of your recipes don't have, you know, like the dairy in, or they don't have meat. Why is that?
Well, it's sort of twofold. I think that in the Caribbean in general, there is, depending on where you are, of course, there's a lot of not eating meat. In part, there's just not a lot of space. You know, the islands are small. There's not a lot of room for large animals. There's lots of chickens. And there were lots of pigs brought over by the Europeans. But there's not a lot of beef. And hence the milk. There's not a lot of milk there. And then also, my family in particular grew up in the middle of the bush, very poor. And so they just didn't have access to meat. They didn't have access to those things. So I didn't grow up eating them much. My mom, you know, once she came to Canada, married my father, things were different, but she just relied on that sort of way that she had grown up eating. So I used to eat vegan food and not think of it as anything, and then realize, like, oh, that's a thing.
You were hip before it became hip to be vegan, exactly. Right? I love the story about that you told about your dad cooking jellied pig's feet and your mom just having to leave because she couldn't handle it. Did you grow to like that more meat?
Yeah. I mean, I think that today I eat more meat sometimes than I think I should. So I do enjoy it, but I also appreciate that I feel completely satisfied without it. I think that for some people, I've had people ask me, but how do you have a meal without meat? To me, that's just such a foreign question because I've been doing it all my life.
Yes, when I first decided to become vegan or vegetarian, of course, my parents were appalled. Well, what does that mean? How am I going to feed you? What am I going to make for you, right? But it really, you don't, if you're not used to it, it makes total sense. So,
yeah.
Now, you write that life on an island might mean cooking with what you, you've got and getting creative. So how did that play out in the Caribbean dishes?
In general, like
in general.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think that there's a lot of ways in which people had to, like you said, get creative. I think the enslaved Africans, certainly they were there cooking without the things that they were used to at home. So they had to look to the indigenous people and nature to sort of make up for those things. And I think that's part of what made the cuisine different. Certainly, it's been noted that there's a lot of gluten-free recipes in the book, and that is in part because wheat wouldn't grow there. So they had to find other ways to make breads and things that were similar to breads without it. So that's why you get a lot of cornmeal things, and the cassava makes a good sort of substitute. I think my understanding is the Europeans were not very satisfied in the beginning, but I think they learned to like it.
Well, that's kind of like when we travel and we come into, we find different foods and different tastes and different flavors. And at first we're kind of like, ooh, what is this? And, you know, should I try it? And then once we've eaten it for a while, we can really appreciate a lot more than in the beginning, right?
Yeah, I agree. My daughter, I always say that one thing that makes her like a good eater, doesn't eat everything. She's certainly picky like anybody else's kid, but she will try anything. And I think it's because she's had enough positive experiences with unknown foods that she's willing to take the risk.
Well, good for her. I hope she keeps that up.
I hope so, too.
Now, you focus on 11 key ingredients that are important to Caribbean cuisine. Why don't you tell us what they are, and how did you narrow it down to just 11?
So the ingredients are beans, calabaza, which is a kind of squash, cassava, chayote, coconut, cornmeal, okra, plantains, rice, salted cod, and Scotch bonnet peppers. And I came to this list through just kind of when I realized I wanted to write this book, advice was given to me to just cook and write. So as I was cooking and researching, I'm realizing these things keep coming up. Oh, yeah. Oh, they use cassava like that in Puerto Rico. Oh, Cuba has that okra dish. And so there were other ingredients that could have made the cut, but, you know, I had to end it somewhere.
Right.
red fruit almost made the list, but it didn't. So, yeah, that's how it came to be. These are things that we all use. Scotch bonnets, I make a caveat in the book. Not everybody uses Scotch bonnets. Most people use some kind of chili, and it is definitely a sign of the Caribbean.
Uh-huh, for sure. I mean, I think you wrote in that you pretty much put Scotch bonnet in everything.
Yeah, before my daughter was born, everything, and now most things. Okay. I'm working on her heat tolerance.
How hot is a Scotch bonnet? I don't think I've ever had one.
They are very hot.
Ah.
Yeah, they're probably, I think the ghost pepper is the hottest in the world, but the Scotch bonnet is right up there. So the Scoville on the heat units, a Scotch bonnet has 100 to 350,000. Heat units, and for reference, jalapenos have 2,500 to 8,000.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's a little tangy.
Yeah, a little bit of a zip.
We're talking to Leslie Enston. She is an author and home cook. Her recipes have appeared in Bon Appetit, Food 52, and the New York Times. Her book is called Belly Full, Exploring Caribbean Cuisine Through 11 Fundamental Ingredients and Over 100 Recipes. Do you have some questions for her about Caribbean food? Well, we'd love to hear from you, 800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. And this is the Larry Mueller Show, and it is day one of the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive. I'm Jill Nadeau, and I'm here with Lee Rayburn. And just a reminder that your gift makes a huge difference because listeners are the largest source of funding for WPR programs. So step up and be counted as a supporter with your gift right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Now, this hour, we have a goal of getting 35 people to join us with a gift. It seems rather daunting at this point, but as we get closer to the end of the hour, we'll get closer to this goal with your support. And this support funds WPR News and helps us stay on track. So we're asking you to make your contribution now. Don't wait. Any amount that works for you will do. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And do you know how many proud WPR members we have as sustainers, Lee? That's right, lots. 25,000.
You made me do math there.
I did. Ha-ha, wake up.
Just went blank. That's words are right. Fine, but numbers, no.
Numbers, I know. They don't tell us numbers here. But yeah, 25,000 WPR members are sustainers. And that's so wonderful because that we can count then on their ongoing monthly gifts to WPR.
You too can provide a reliable stream of funding for the programs you care about by becoming a sustainer now. And we've made it as easy as possible. You can choose any amount. Let's start with $10 or $20 a month and set it up to be ongoing every month. It's easy to do. Just go to WPR.org or call now, 888-202-2552.
This drive, add flair and function to your refrigerator with the new WPR Badger Magnet. Display your love of Wisconsin Public Radio and the Badger State with this strong 3-inch magnet featuring a badger tuned into WPR via headphones.
You're tuned to Wisconsin Public Radio.
Fancy up your fridge decor and give any amount now and ask for your magnet. Here's how.
Wow, those are some pretty smooth vibes there. All you have to do right now is go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation. I'm Jill Nadeau, and I'm here with Lee Rayburn. Your support during this fall member drive really makes all of the conversations that we have available to you. You enjoy the WPR because of that. Your gift of $10 or $20 a month or whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
And everybody across Wisconsin and even in Iowa, Minnesota, and Illinois have access to what's going on here at any time, and they do so because of you and the other tens of thousands of individuals and households who have chosen WPR.
Absolutely. So make your gift right now in the amount that's right for you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you for making an investment that serves your whole community.
Now, you might be wondering, how much should I give? I don't know. I can't tell you. But you probably have a better idea. And whatever amount will do, and that amount will get you that new magnet today with the badger on it and the WPR lime jello green headphones. I've got to believe if anybody's got those headphones, Larry Mueller's got the headphones.
He's not talking. You know, he probably has them at home. He got the first cap too. You know, he got the cap with the miss. There was something wrong with it, so they gave it to Larry.
Oh, I didn't know that. I just thought he was the first to get everything.
No, there was something wrong. There was a flaw.
He's like the WPR model of all of our contribution gifts.
Yeah, be cool like Larry. I'm sure he's going to get one or two magnets for
be
sure.
Be cool like Larry should be our new shirt.
Oh, I like that. I like that. Let's do that. If you're a sustaining member, thank you so much. Make today the day that that you increase your support of WPR by $5 or maybe $10 a month, whatever amount you choose, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Patricia in Winter says, I listen to public radio every day, which means I have something in common with Patricia in Winter. I love the learning and the entertainment, says Patricia, and so do we.
Absolutely. Please join Patricia with your gift right now. It's so important, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you very much. And let's go back to talk to Leslie Enston. She is the author of the book Belly Full, Exploring Caribbean Cuisine Through 11 Fundamental Ingredients and Over 100 Recipes. Before we continue, Leslie, where did the name come from, Belly Full?
That is a phrase that's often used in English-speaking Caribbean countries. They'll say, me belly full, and it means both, obviously, your belly is full, you're full of food, but also, like, I'm content, I'm good, I have what I need.
That's great. That's a great phrase. I love it. Now, for those who might not be familiar with some of those Caribbean staples that we talked about earlier, can you find those in a regular grocery store?
So plenty of them you can, for sure. Mm-hmm. Of course, beans and coconut milk, especially. A lot of the recipes don't have to be fresh coconut, which can be really difficult to work with, but I do love it. Okra, rice, and then plantains, I feel like, have found their way all over the place. I'm in the most random places and I'll see plantains. My dad lives in rural Ontario and they have plantains there.
Okay. So
I'm hoping that they're easy to find. Calabaza can be a little tricky. You really see it mostly in specifically Caribbean grocery stores, but it can be substituted with butternut or kabocha squash.
Okay.
And then the other ingredients, they can be found in Latin American stores because there's a lot of crossover there. Mm-hmm. And African grocery stores as well.
Okay. Well, let's go to the phones. We've got a couple of people wanting to give us a comment. Michael in Madison, you are first. Go right ahead.
Good morning. I just wanted to toss in that little anecdote from me. Growing up in Madison, I kind of grew up with Miracle Whip as the tangiest thing that I would tolerate eating. And then as an adult, I had some coworkers from other countries tease me about that at work, and I said, that will not stand. And so I pushed myself, and in incorporating different spices, getting up to the level of being able to totally process and tolerate a Scotch bonnet, I want to tell people that it is doable and delicious. But I just wanted to point out that it has allowed me to push myself in language, push myself in understanding of the history of other countries, because all of that comes through food and through people talking about food. I know I don't have a meeting at work without some thought of food happening. So it's possible everybody can do it and you can all get there.
I love that, Michael. What a great way to open up your universe. What do you think, Leslie?
I love that, too. I think that's so true. Food is the connector. It's mm-hmm. the ultimate connector.
And it's almost like he was training for a marathon there, getting himself up to eat a Scotch bonnet.
I mean, Scotch bonnets are, yeah, that's like full-on marathon level.
For sure. Good for you. Let's go now to Suzanne. Suzanne in Madison. Go ahead, Suzanne.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I would like to mention that breadfruit would be a good addition for your next book, because I know a couple of Caribbean countries, like the island of Roatan, which belongs to Honduras. They have a big push there to grow the breadfruit tree again, so that there are multiple breadfruit trees, because they're really a major whole food, apparently, for the poorer people living on those islands. So I'd like to know more about breadfruit and recipes for that. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Susan. Leslie, do you cook with breadfruit?
Yes, I do. And actually, because breadfruit was almost one of the featured ingredients of the book, it does have a little shout out in there, and there's some information about it. And it does come up in quite a few of the recipes because, as Suzanne said, it's a staple around the Caribbean. It was brought there from the South Pacific, I believe, where they called it the Tree of Life because it's so prolific and it fruits all year long, which is very interesting. So yeah. It was brought over here. The whole Mutiny on the Bounty happened because of breadfruit.
Really? And, I did not know that.
There you go. That's where it all started. And in the beginning, no one wanted to eat it, but people eventually got used to it. And it's delicious. It's like a little bit sweet. It's really nice.
Okay. And what does it look like?
It's round and just green and has, I don't know how to explain, it has like a pattern all over it.
Okay.
It's not common, mm-hmm. unfortunately, to see here mm-hmm. fresh. But I have a feeling, I think, because there has been a big push, it's such a sustainable thing, I think that we will start to see it more.
Oh, that's great. Now, how do you use it? Do you cut it up?
Yeah, you cut it up. It's not like a squash, but cooking with it is sort of like squash. Mm-hmm. I would say it tastes a little bit more like a potato. They call it breadfruit because it sort of tastes like bread. And you can boil it, you can roast it, you can grill it, you can fry it.
Wow. Very versatile.
Yeah, it is very versatile. Yeah. And like I said, it's delicious and nutritious.
Excellent. Sounds like a perfect food. Let's talk about some of those key ingredients individually now. Probably the most familiar to everybody is beans. What do you remember about growing up eating beans?
Just that we ate them all the time. I like have a love, not a hate relationship, but we ate beans all the time. And there were times where ask what's for dinner and black-eyed peas. Oh, again, okay. But I do love them. And I think that, again, I got so used to that being my protein that I'm really happy to have that today. And I think there's so many things you can do with beans. There's so many ways you can season them.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. And you can stew them, you can fry them, you can put them in lieu of, you can make burgers out of them. They're great.
Now, what kinds of beans are most commonly eaten in the Caribbean?
Quite a variety. So black beans and any kind of red bean, like a kidney bean, chickpeas, black-eyed peas, mm-hmm. Pigeon peas. That's a huge one. I grew up eating a lot of pigeon peas. I hated them when I was a kid. I could walk into like an aunt's house and smell and know, oh no. But now I love them. So I don't know. Thankfully, my daughter likes them.
I'm not familiar with a pigeon pea. What does that look like?
They're small and brown and round. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they also call them gungo peas.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Let's.
Oh no.
You're done? We've covered peas. Okay, thanks. Now let's talk about the cassava. Now you write that it's representative of the Caribbean. What is it?
It's a root vegetable.
Okay.
It's like it's a long tuber. It's brown. It has a very hard skin on it. And here it's always a little bit shiny because they put wax on it, which apparently helps it to keep.
Ah, sure. I think we do that with some of apples and cucumbers, sure. Things like that. Sure. Okay. Give us a little bit of a history of the cassava in the region.
So cassava is it's indigenous to the area. And people were making a cassava bread there for thousands of years before anybody else showed up, which they still make to this day. And apparently in Guyana specifically, they make it exactly as they've been making it since they've been making it.
Wow.
So there is perhaps nothing as Caribbean as cassava.
Okay. And what are some of your tips for preparing it?
So you have to, it can be a little bit difficult getting once you get the hang of it, it's pretty easy, but getting that skin off is not the easiest thing to do. I always say, do not use a vegetable peeler. You will be sad. You will be sorry. A little sharp paring knife, you make a slit and you sort of work the knife underneath and it will just come right off.
Okay. Sure it will.
It genuinely does.
But, okay. Well, that's good to know, because if you know the key to peeling something, you're halfway there in any recipe.
Exactly.
So there's a lot of different ways to use it, obviously. Do you have a favorite?
I think Bami is my favorite, which is you grate it and then fry it with coconut milk, which is just like all the good things. Coconut milk, fried. They're delicious.
Now, speaking of the coconut, it's pretty iconic on, pretty much any island, I guess.
And, yeah.
how did they get their name? You have that in the book.
Yeah, so apparently it's that the Coco means like boogeyman.
Oh.
And I think because of, you know, those round parts on it that look like a face, it looks, and when you start to look at it, you'll never unsee it. It does look like a kind of a creepy face, really.
It really does. Yeah. And I think most of us who have thought about using a whole coconut have probably said, yeah, no, I don't know how to open it. So what are your tips for that?
So, yes, that's something I talk extensively about in the book because it's not easy.
No.
Breaking it is the key. And I find a lot of satisfaction in putting it inside a bag and going out my back door and just slamming it on the ground. But maybe that's not, you know, the more sort of professional way to do it is to tap it all around with a hammer or the heavy back of a knife and it'll open up for you.
Really?
And then, yeah. And I did not believe that because I grew up in a house of just throw it. But it does really work. And then once you've gotten it open, you can start to pry the pieces out.
Okay. Is it best to use like a knife or a spoon? Or I mean, how do you take those pieces out?
I like to use like a dinner butter knife. I find that to be the easiest to work underneath it.
Okay.
If you find yourself a little clumsy, a small spoon might be better because there will be moments of slipping.
And... yeah, because that's really important. That knife can be very dangerous for sure.
Yes.
So
yeah.
We are talking to Leslie Enston. She is an author and home cook, and her recipes have appeared in Bon Appetit, Food 52, and the New York Times. Now, her new book is called Belly Full, Exploring Caribbean Cuisine Through 11 Fundamental Ingredients and Over 100 Recipes. Do you have a question for Leslie? Do you want to tell us about your experience with Caribbean cuisine? Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234, or you can send an email to talk@wpr.org. This is the Larry Mueller Show, and it is time for Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive. I'm Jill Nadeau, and I'm here with Lee Rayburn. Your support is an essential piece of the funding for all the programs that you enjoy on WPR. It's a fact. Listener support is the largest source of funding for WPR programs. This drive is your time to take action. You make the programs possible when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And it's a fact. We need 35 people to join us this hour. That includes you. And if you do, we'll be on track to support the quality and variety of programs that you listen to and enjoy every day. It's listener powered. We are listener powered, and that means you and your donation right now makes the difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Lee, every time I hear listener powered, I get this vision of this big, like, gerbil wheel with all these little listeners inside just running around. You don't have to do that. You just have to call. You know, on the Larry Mueller Show, we focus on how to make your life better. Yeah. Every single day, we have practical advice on topics that affect your community. You know, we talk about things like health issues, or we talk about things that's going on at the university in the state, consumer protection, of course, and even Larry makes us talk about sports.
Today, we're talking about how to crack a coconut,
that's
and I
right.
wish I knew this way back when, because I've put it in a vise, I've tried to drill, I've used a handsaw, maybe some minor explosives even, but
okay,
thank
yeah.
you, Leslie.
This sounds
Enston
like a YouTube for... channel thing that you should
how
be
to crack
doing.
A coconut with Lee and Leslie Enston, if we want to do it right. So it's your support that makes all this possible every day. So if you support the Larry Mueller Show, do so with your financial support. Your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 keeps all these conversations available to everyone.
And think about what you spend your money on every day. I mean, we used to say, you know, buy a newspaper, but obviously that
what?
Doesn't happen to us. Yeah, newspaper was a thing that you could, you know, pick up and open and your news would be there. Or some people they buy coffee every day or they buy takeout. You know, it all adds up. Well, it's easy to spend on other things that are part of your routine.
Couldn't help but notice we appear to be part of your routine too. So we're your news source. We're your conversation starter. We're the place that makes you think. So spend some money on it today. And you can just start with a dollar a day. It's $30 a month. Just go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio is Wisconsin. I moved here from another state, and that was my introduction to Wisconsin. And every day, that's how I know what's going on in Wisconsin. On a monthly basis, I'm contributing to Wisconsin Public Radio. When I hear them talk about sustaining members, I realize that's me. And I kind of like that. Contributing to Wisconsin Public Radio makes you feel like you're part of a family or like a community. That's how I feel every month. And even if they're just giving a small amount, they could feel that way too. I'm Bridget from Oak Creek, Wisconsin. Join me as a sustainer of Wisconsin Public Radio.
And you can give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Jill Nadeau, and I'm here with Lee Rayburn, and we're having a little dance break. It's great music. And we're asking you to support the quality program that you value right here on WPR with your gift right now, because it's our fall member drive. And your contribution of maybe $10 a month, or it can be $100 a month, whatever you choose. That's what's so cool. It makes a difference for our entire community.
Everybody gets to listen. Everybody gets to go online to WPR.org, and everybody gets to do it because of your support. So I'd like you to think back to when you first discovered Wisconsin Public Radio. For me, it was on my grandparents' porch in Kohler. I got to be honest with you, when I was a kid, I didn't get it. Not at first, anyway. But then I noticed the high-quality news when I got interested in news, the discussions about things that make you go, hmm. And no matter how you first found WPR, if you're like me, you're hooked.
That's right. And now is a great time to become a supporter of WPR if you haven't. Or if you have and you want to consider it, become a sustaining member, because it's really easy to set up. It's convenient. It's ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or credit card. So get started at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we have the Member Drive Magnet waiting for you today. This cute 3-inch round magnet shows a badger listening to WPR. And you may ask, how do you know he's listening to WPR? It's written right there on his headphones, which may make you ask, how do we get those WPR headphones? Stay tuned. We're working on it. So ask for yours when you give any amount now and get that badger magnet at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, the drive team's going to come after you for that headphone thing.
I want people the headphones.
People are going to be calling and say, I want those green headphones. Lee said.
They're only for badgers. The animals, actually.
The animals. So yes. If you own a badger and we have a picture of it, you can possibly get the headphones.
Now they'll be talking to you. We'll be giving badgers out at the next member drive.
There you go. Green ones. You can call right now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to get Lee and I from stopping from talking about
it. It's just the magnet.
This.
We're just getting you the magnet today, yes. But stay tuned.
Okay. We're going back to our wonderful guest and Leslie, who's talking about Caribbean cooking. And we've got a question from someone who's actually listening to us. Cheryl in Iron Ridge. Hi, Cheryl. What's your question?
Well, you know, I want to ask her this. In 1992, probably before she was born, I had the wonderful opportunity to go to Tahiti. And when I visited Tahiti, I ate coconuts. And I can't tell you how wonderful they were. And when I came back from the trip, I bought a couple coconuts, took them home, and wound up literally throwing them away because they did not have the same flavor that the native people of Tahiti climbed the tree to get the coconut and then show us all of the layers of the coconut that can be used. It just didn't taste the same. So where does she get coconuts that taste like they came from the island?
Well, Leslie, what do you say about that one?
Well, in 1992, I was very much around. That is a good question. Nothing's ever going to be as good as it is when it's fresh picked. I definitely in Trinidad, I remember stopping somewhere and my uncle just getting some young boy, like, go climb up and get us a coconut. And he went and climbed up and got one and we cut it open and had it. And like, there's nothing as good as that. I'm fortunate enough to live somewhere that has a huge Caribbean diaspora. So I think that we get kind of fresher more often. They're coming here more often, ingredients. So that's something that's lucky for me. I think that's one of the reasons why I've focused a lot on coconut milk, like canned coconut milk, because not everyone has access to coconuts just generally and not fresh coconuts. So unfortunately, I think you're going to have to go back to Tahiti to get that.
Gee, that's hard. I'll go with you, Cheryl. I'll be happy to go with you and help you carry those coconuts back. How do you pick out a good coconut if you do decide to buy one in the store? What's to look for?
That can be really tricky because I have tried all the things that I know and come home with a rotten coconut on more than one occasion. One thing you do want for sure is it should be heavy and sloshing around with a lot of liquid. There should be all that good coconut water in there. If you don't hear it, it's old and it's dried up and you don't want that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. And some places will cut them open for you if you want to make sure that it's good.
Oh, that's a good option. I didn't think about that. Although I don't know if I've ever seen anybody doing that. Pineapple, yes. Coconut, no. So... they probably don't know how to open them, Leslie.
I can give them a tutorial.
There you go. I'll bring your book along. There you go. Now, we're talking about Scotch bonnet peppers earlier. So what do you recommend for someone who's never tried this type of pepper before? I mean, how do you know how much to use?
go slow. So definitely all the heat or most of the heat is in the seeds. So when you're using it, scoop those out and you can just discard them. And then I, for instance, when I'm cooking for my daughter, I'll just use a tiny sliver of Scotch bonnet and chop that up and put it in the dish. And then you can see how that works out for you.
Okay.
And, you know, and go from there. But yeah. Start small.
Start really small. Or you can substitute a different pepper, can't you? That's a little, maybe a jalapeno or something that's a little bit... not quite
you
so
could,
spicy.
The thing about Scotch bonnets is they have a really particular taste in addition to the heat. They have this like beautiful smoky taste.
Okay.
So you can certainly, if you can't get your hands on them. And I have seen dried Scotch bonnet pepper. So that's an option too, if you can find that online.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing is quite like a Scotch bonnet.
Well, I think I'm going to have to try a little teeny tiny piece of it just to get that flavor from you. One of the things on your list I thought was interesting was the salted cod. Okay, we're talking about being surrounded by water here. Why salt it? Because that's a storage thing, right?
Absolutely. So it started off as being a way to sustain people on this boat ride going back and forth between Africa and the islands and Europe and the islands. So they needed something that wouldn't go bad. You know, they were on the sea for a long time. They wanted something that was cheap. It was very cheap at the time. The seas were prolific with them and they lived up north. So the English had the lock on the salted cod, and it's just become part of the cuisine. And it's interesting because I think a lot of people think about fresh fish in the Caribbean,
right,
which of course
yeah.
there is fresh fish. And I've had, I mean, some of the best fish I've ever had has been just caught there. But day to day in most homes, salted cod is the fish that you're seeing being eaten.
Yeah, I thought that was quite unusual. How is it stored?
You can store it straight out on the counter if you want, because there's so much salt in it, which you take out, of course, before you eat it. I prefer to store it in the fridge only because fruit flies like it, and that's gross.
Mm-hmm.
But it can keep kind of indefinitely.
Okay. And is that pretty readily available in grocery stores?
I think it's pretty prolific. There's a lot of different people in the world that use salted cod, including in Europe. So you can, sometimes they call it bacalao.
Okay. Now, one other thing on your list is plantains, and I think we've become a lot more used to seeing those in grocery stores. What are some of your favorite ways to use plantains?
Oh, I just love every way to use plantains. I think my number one favorite thing is just fried green ones. I did not grow up with that. I didn't even know it was an option growing up, which was very upsetting when I found out. Like, why was my mom holding out on me? But I say I'm a person, I love French fries. It's one of my weaknesses, but I would say goodbye to ever to French fries if it just meant keeping fried green plantains.
Wow. I have never tasted any. So what can you, what does it kind of taste like?
Well, it's, I mean, fried starchy goodness. It's a little bit like a potato, but it has a bit more of a robust flavor.
Mm-hmm.
The green ones are not sweet at all. They're very starchy. I don't know. Yeah. And they're such a good vessel for like pickled things or mm-hmm. spicy things.
They look like bananas, right? Little tiny. Is that a plantain?
Bigger. They're bigger.
Bigger.
But they do look like bananas. They're like bananas.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But do they taste like bananas?
When they're ripe, they taste quite similar. Not the same. They're heartier,
mm-hmm.
both in texture and flavor, but it's similar. It's not, it wouldn't be a stretch.
Okay. So if you had to introduce someone to Caribbean food who had never eaten any of it before, what would that menu look like?
Oh my gosh, that's a really difficult question. Well, let's do some fried plantains.
Okay.
Obviously. And salted cod, some sort of a salted cod dish, probably something stewed. Like I grew up eating buljol, which is the Trinidadian version. Everybody makes a version of that. So I think that's really like very Caribbean. And rice and beans.
Okay. What about sweet stuff? Do you have any desserty kind of food?
Oh yeah. There's something called an arepa, which is from the Dominican Republic, made out of cornmeal. It's like sweet cornbread. It's really delicious.
Mm-hmm.
There's several coconut recipes, of course, because coconut and sugar goes so well together.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, and sugar goes well with a lot of things. Okay. Well, I really want to thank you, spending some of your time with us, Leslie. And I think you probably need to write another book because obviously you left out some ingredients. So
I'll work on it right now.
Okay. Well, then we want
you
back.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. We've been talking with Leslie Enston. She is an author and home cook. And her book is called Belly Full, Exploring Caribbean Cuisine Through 11 Fundamental Ingredients and Over 100 Recipes. And if you don't want to write that down or can't remember it, we do have a link on our website. So just go to WPR.org/Larry, go to today's date, and you will see that on there. But right now, I think I'm going to go back to Lee Rayburn here, who's been drooling over plantains, I think.
If Leslie's willing to give up French fries for fried green plantains, I have to try the recipe.
Yeah, I think she kind of got me there, mm-hmm. too. So, and in case you're not wondering, what's Lee doing here? We wonder it all the time, Lee.
I know.
This is the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive, and I'm Jill Nadeau, and of course, like I said, Lee Rayburn is here. And you know what that means? That we need to tell you once again that listeners like you provide the largest source of funding here at WPR, and this is your chance to support all those programs that you enjoy. So think about giving and then call 888-202-2552.
And this hour, we've set a goal of 35 gifts, and we are getting there. But we've only got a few minutes left.
Yes,
so the only way we're going to get there is with you. This hourly goal is important. It kind of shows you what we need to keep on track with everything we bring to you every day. So with the little time we have left this hour, help us get that goal. Give now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I mean, where else are you going to learn about Caribbean cooking from mm-hmm. someone who grew up there? And I'll bet you're going to use that coconut thing. So where else would you find that? Right here on WPR. And we're here because we're listener supported. And that means that when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you make this hour and many more hours possible. So choose an amount that works for you. Take a few minutes and make your gift.
Any amount will do. And when you give right now, we'll send you a WPR Badger magnet. It's got a Wisconsin Badger on it listening to WPR. How do you know they're listening to WPR? It's written right there in the lime jello green headphones. Get your magnet now while supplies last when you give any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I'm Sheree from Waupun.
Well, I'm not very pleasant until I have my coffee, or at least get it in the cup.
But in the morning, as soon as I wake up, I turn it on my computer. And I can honestly say when I do return to Florida, I will always listen to WPR. I will always be interested in Wisconsin politics. I will always care about the state of Wisconsin because of WPR.
To make a difference in your community and beyond, visit WPR.org.
And go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation this fall member drive. I'm Jill Nadeau here with Larry. Larry's not here. Lee Rayburn.
That would be amazing. All of a sudden, I'm Larry.
That's right.
Larry would usually be here.
That's right. He would.
And you would usually be listening to him. But today, we're asking you to support him and everything you hear on Wisconsin Public Radio by giving now at WPR.org or calling 888-202-2552.
And if you're a sustaining member, thank you so much. Make today the day you increase your support for WPR by $5 or $10 a month, whatever you choose. And you can get that cool magnet, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Dan in Green Bay says, what inspires me to give? The many fine programs with all their great hosts. And that has to include Larry.
It does. So join in. Be like Dan. Give your gift now. It's so important. It really, really is. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you.